The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John chapter 1, verse 5. Welcome to Echoes Through the Abyss, a place where the deepest valleys of human experience meet the unrelenting light of hope. In this world, many have walked through darkness, through trauma, loss, brokenness and despair. But even in the depths, even in the silence of the abyss, there are echoes. Echoes of survival, echoes of redemption, echoes of faith. Here we share real stories of people who have faced the darkness and found their way back to the light. Because no matter how deep the abyss may feel, hope still speaks. This is Echoes Through the Abyss podcast.
All right. Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Echoes Through the Abyss. And today we're going to be doing an Easter thing because, well, it's Easter and it's the best thing to do for today. And again, this is only our second episode doing this stuff. So we kind of just got to go with the flow a little bit. We're still working out some kinks, but it's going pretty well so far. And also this episode, we're going to be doing our own communion. So if you're listening, go get bread or I'm using a graham cracker and like body armor for the juice and stuff. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. It's a symbolism behind it. So go ahead and get you something. And then we will jump into this episode. We'll get a little praise on for
great assurance. Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Yeah.
one more.
Set a table, I can come and eat, even when I'm feeling unworthy of the feast. Here is where there's healing, where everyone is seen, and just to be with Jesus is everything. Come to the table of the Lord, let him break the bread and pour the wine. All that is broken, he restores. Here at the table, here at the table of the Lord. Turn to communion. He has saved to see the King who is a servant is here to wash your feet. I know that it's not simple, the closer that you get, but it's a risk worth taking to meet with him again. So come to the table.
I'm already sweating. Here we go. Ben, do you want to do the opening prayer?
Sure. All right, let us pray. Father God, we come before you today with grateful hearts. On this day, we remember the cross, the sacrifice, and the victory of the empty tomb. Jesus, thank you for choosing us, even when we were far from you. Your word says in Romans 5:8 that while we were sinners, you died for us. And today we don't take that lightly. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this moment. Fill this space. Fill this conversation. Fill every listener. Let this episode not just be words, but an encounter. Break chains, lift burdens, and restore hope. For anyone listening who feels lost, broken, or buried, remind them today that the grave is empty and that you are still bringing dead things back to life. Your word says in John 11:25 that you are the resurrection and the life. So breathe life into every heart hearing this. Let this message reach the one who feels unseen, the one who feels too far gone, the one standing on the edge of giving up. Draw them back to you. Jesus, be at the center of this episode. Be in every word, every pause, every moment. We surrender this time to you fully in your powerful resurrecting name. In Jesus' name, amen.
And if you're listening right now, this is your reminder that the tomb is empty and your story isn't over. Matthew 28:5-6 says, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said." And today we don't just remember a story. We step into a moment. A moment where heaven touched earth, where love was stretched across a cross, and where the deepest abyss humanity could fall into was met by the greatest sacrifice heaven could give. This is Easter. This is communion. And this is Jesus. Before there was an empty tomb, there was a brutal cross, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes, because it was, wow. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:5, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." And some versions say, "by his stripes we are healed." Jesus didn't just die. He took on everything. Your sin, your shame, your past, your pain, every hidden struggle, every regret, every moment you thought you were too far gone, he carried it willingly.
The bread, his broken body. On the night before the cross, Jesus sat with his disciples. In Luke 22:19, he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The bread represents his body, broken, beaten, pierced. He was mocked so you could be accepted. He was beaten so you could be made whole. He was broken so you could be restored. Take the bread. This is not just a symbol. This is a reminder. Jesus gave everything for you.
Heart full crunchy.
Mine's very chewy.
Then he took the cup. Sorry, hold on. In Luke 22:20, he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." His blood wasn't spilled by accident. It was poured out on purpose, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That means your past is forgiven, your guilt is erased, and your chains are broken. Not because you earned it, but because he paid for it. This is grace in its purest form, and you are covered. There was a moment when it looked like darkness had won. Jesus cried out, "It is finished," John 19:30. And actually, in Greek, he said, "Tetelestai," which means it is finished. But what the enemy thought was the end was actually the beginning, because 3 days later, the stone rolled away. The grave lost its grip, death lost its sting, and Jesus walked out victorious.
Easter is proof of that. The abyss does not have to be the final word. Your story is not over. What looks dead can live again. In Romans 6:4, Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. That means today you can walk in freedom. You can be made new. You can rise out of whatever you're in.
And just to kind of give you, well, kind of bring it home for what he really did to us. Again, there was a moment when it looked like the darkness had won. Luke 23, 44 through 45. Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m. And Luke says it was now about noon and darkness came over the land. This is when Jesus had gave up his spirit and died. The sky went dark. Hope felt buried. Heaven seemed silent. And it looked like the abyss had the final word. The stone was sealed. The grave was guarded. And the world believed darkness had won. But heaven wasn't finished, because on the third day, the ground shook, the stone rolled away, and death lost its grip on humanity. Jesus walked out of the grave, and that same power that broke open that tomb is still calling people out of their graves today. Maybe yours is fear, maybe it's addiction, maybe it's shame. But Easter declares something powerful. You don't have to stay buried, because the tomb is empty, and Jesus is calling your name.
Jesus didn't just die, he suffered intentionally. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, betrayed, beaten, broken, and still he chose the cross. Just to emphasize, he was beaten with a whip that had lead tips on them. He was mocked, spit on, forced to carry his own cross to Golgotha. He had huge nails driven through both wrists and his feet. And in those days, they would have used wood from Christ's thorn jujube, which has long, sharp, rigid thorns. So imagine that being driven into your skull, tearing your flesh, literally nailed to his head. His cross wasn't even made for him. It was made for the criminal Barabbas, who was a bigger man. Jesus didn't fit on the cross. They had to stretch him to get his arms nailed to it. Talk about the difficulty to breathe.
So that was like, did some research on actual crucifixion, and aside from maybe like impalement, this is probably the most inhumane thing you could probably do to somebody. And like Ben just said, the cross wasn't made for him, so it was actually too big for him. So, and just from a physical standpoint, they couldn't have nailed through his hands, because the hands would not support the weight. It would just tear out, so they nailed through the wrists. So think of him with his left arm already attached to the cross. You know, he's still laying on the ground, because they get them all nailed in and then they raise the cross up, so it just sits there until they slowly asphyxiate, because that's what it is. It's slow asphyxiation, because if you think about it, your arms are out crossed out, you know, outstretched, and then your feet are crossed. So your body's kind of just dangling down, and the weight that's being put on your diaphragm and on your lungs, it makes it nearly impossible to breathe. So you slowly asphyxiate to death. And
yeah, that's also why they usually break the person being crucified's legs.
Yeah.
And they broke both the other two people crucified with Jesus's legs, but he was already dead. But they break the legs so that the weight of the body will make you actually asphyxiate faster.
Yeah, they didn't do that with Jesus. He didn't have any broken bones, like, at all. So
right, which is also from a psalm. It says he has no broken bones, and from Isaiah.
Yeah, they were as cruel to him as possible, which is kind of interesting, because the people who were like Pontius Pilate actually didn't want him to be crucified. He was going to let him go, but then he gave in to the mob. And keep in mind, this is the big crowd that was carrying palm leaves welcoming him into Jerusalem. They're the ones screaming that he should be crucified. So Pontius let Barabbas go, and then took Jesus, and they took him to the cross. And it was, I can't even imagine. And the thing that kind of gets me is that he knew everything that was going to happen to him before it happened. So he knew how much pain and suffering he was going to be in, but he did it anyway.
Yeah. Like the Garden of Gethsemane, was praying and he said, "Father, if be possible, take away this cup from me." But then he said, "But your will, not mine." And he knew the cup wasn't going away.
Nope. And he let him do that to him, because, I mean, he could have gotten out of it easily. He could have disappeared for all we know. But when he finally gave up his spirit, he again said, "Tetelestai," or "it is finished." He didn't say, I am finished, but the debt is finished. So for the disciples, you know, it felt like the abyss had swallowed everything. But what looked like the end was actually the beginning of the greatest victory in human history, because 3 days later, the stone rolled away and death lost.
Why did it? Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He saw every failure, every sin, every secret, and still said, you're worth it. To the world, the crucifixion looked like failure, but the cross was not an accident. Jesus said in John 10:18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. The cross was where? Sin was paid for. Justice was satisfied. Mercy was released. The enemy thought he had won. But what Satan meant for destruction, God turned into redemption. The cross was not defeat. It was the doorway to resurrection.
Now, this was done on a Friday, which is why we have Good Friday now. And Saturday, after he died, they took him off the cross. His tomb was sealed, but God was still moving. After he died, his body was placed in the tomb. It was a tomb given to him by Joseph of Arimathea, because Joseph was one of the rich guys who didn't agree with what was happening to Jesus, so he donated his tomb to Jesus. This massive stone was rolled over it, and Roman guards were actually stationed outside his tomb. And to everybody watching, the story looked finished, but God often works in the silence of the tomb. And there are moments in our lives that we feel are like tomb seasons. You ever been there? I know I haven't recently, actually. When your prayers feel unanswered, when God feels silent, when life feels buried, everything looks over. But even in silence, God's working. Psalm 35, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Saturday is real, but it's never final. And Easter reminds us that just because God is silent doesn't mean he is absent. Even in the darkness, resurrection power was preparing to break through.
Then came Sunday. On the third day, everything changed. The earth shook. The stone rolled away. The tomb was empty. Death, which had ruled humanity since the fall of Adam, was suddenly defeated. Jesus walked out of the grave alive. And with him came victory over sin, fear, shame, death itself. Death was defeated. On 1 Corinthians 15:55, where, O death, is your victory? Because of Easter, the grave is not the end of the story. Luke 24:6-7. He is not here. He is risen.
And what the resurrection means. This isn't just what happened to Jesus. It's what can happen to you. Romans 6:4 says, just as Christ was raised, we too may live a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. So resurrection isn't just an event. It's an invitation. Without the resurrection, Christianity would be meaningless, which is true. But because Jesus rose, our sins can be forgiven. Our lives can be transformed. Our future is secure. The resurrection means that no darkness is stronger than God's light. Not addiction, not brokenness, not regret, not even death.
John 8:36. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Addiction, shame, fear, none of it has the final say. Romans 8:11 says, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Think about that. The same power that rolled away the stone, the same power that raised Christ from the grave, lives in every believer. That means dead dreams can live again. Broken hearts can heal. Lost people can be restored. The resurrection is not just something we celebrate. It is a power we live in.
That statement's very powerful. You know, maybe today you're feeling like you're standing in the shadows of your own tomb. Maybe life feels buried under pain, loss, guilt, or despair. But Easter declares something powerful. The stone does not stay in place. God is still rolling stones away. Jesus stepped out of the grave so that you could step out of the abyss and into life, literally. And the message of Easter still echoes across time. He is not here. He is risen. And because he lives, hope lives. And there's a different version of gratitude that I absolutely love by Zach Rowe. As my pastor says, Easter Sunday is kind of for Christians like the Christian Super Bowl Sunday. It's kind of that important.
Yeah, it's really the big holiday. Everyone really celebrates is. Christmas the most. Easter is the holiday that makes the life actually become a religion, right?
Yep, and has nothing to do with Easter bunnies or eggs. It's all about a sacrifice by one man that just so very selflessly allowed himself to be tortured and killed for all of us. All of us who weren't even born yet. I just find that amazing. We know some of you feel buried, but hear this in Micah 7:8. Though I have fallen, I will rise. The same power that raised Jesus is reaching for you right now. Ben, you want to do the closing prayer?
Lord Jesus, today we remember the power of your resurrection. Thank you for the cross, for the sacrifice, and for the empty tomb. Where there is darkness in our lives, bring light. Where there is brokenness, bring healing. Where there is despair, bring resurrection hope. Remind us that the same power that raised you from the grave is still working today. May we walk in new life, bold faith, and the victory of the risen King. In Jesus' name, amen.
And in Romans 10:9 says, if you declare and believe, you will be saved. It's really just that simple. I mean, the walk isn't, but to be saved is. And Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else. So today we celebrate something the world cannot explain. A sealed tomb, a guarded grave, a stone that never should have moved. But on the third day, Jesus walked out alive. The resurrection was not just a miracle. It was an invitation for every broken person, every hurting soul, every person who feels buried under the weight of their past. Because the same power that rolled away the stone away from Jesus's tomb is the same power that can roll the stone away from your life today. Some of you turned on this episode carrying things you've tried to bury. Guilt, shame, addiction, regret, pain that nobody else sees. You may feel like your life is trapped in a tomb, but Easter declares something powerful. The tomb is empty, death is defeated, and Jesus is alive. Romans 10:9 says, and if Jesus conquered death, and he can conquer anything holding you today. Or sorry, Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not might be saved, not could be saved, you will be saved. And today is not about religion, it's about resurrection. It's about stepping out of the grave you've been living in and walking into life God created for you. So today we want to ask you a real question. And if you were honest, do you know Jesus? Not know about him, not heard about him, but know him as your Savior. If not, this is your moment. And if you're responding today, please pray this with us.
Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. Bring life to every dead place in me. Your word says in Ezekiel 36:26, you will give me a new heart. So change me, heal me, restore me. I give you everything from the depths of the abyss. Lead me into resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. John 11:25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. The cross was the cost. The empty tomb is the proof, and resurrection is your invitation. And there's a place where silence is loud and pain echoes and darkness feels endless. Some call it rock bottom. I call it the abyss. But what if we told you that Jesus stepped into that darkness before you ever got there? This is Echoes Through the Abyss. And thank you for listening. And remember, even in the abyss, God's voice still echoes. God bless and we love you. And I'm going to play one more video, and Ben, you can hop off if you need to, because I'm just going to let it play and then just go into the end credits. Okay. But it's if anybody is feeling led, just stay on and listen to the song, because it's a good song too.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye. Like you wouldn't believe. I mean, normally I usually end up crying, but you know, what can you do, right? So like I said, if you feel led to, just listen to this song. It's called The Blood of Jesus. It's by Hope Darst.
God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Knowing on a cross he'd give his life. He gave up his crown and traded it for thorns, pouring out a perfect sacrifice. Knowing on a cross he'd save my life. Nothing but the
God bless everybody. We love you.
The blood. It's nothing but the blood. It's only by the blood. It's only by the blood. Oh, it's always only been by the blood that we're saved, by the blood that we're healed, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's nothing but his perfect sacrifice. There's no other option. There's no other way that you can be healed. There's no other way that you can be saved. There's no other way. There's no other way. There's no other way. There's no other way but Jesus. Oh, the blood still saves. Oh, the blood still heals. Oh, the blood still heals. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood still saves. Oh, the blood still heals. Oh, the blood still cleans. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood still cleans. Oh, the blood still saves. Oh, the blood still heals in wonder. Yes, it is. It's still breaking chains. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ, it will never change. Oh, the blood still cleans. Oh, the blood still saves. Oh, the blood.
As this episode comes to a close, remember this. No matter how deep the valley, no matter how heavy the darkness may feel, hope still lives. Thank you for listening to Echoes Through the Abyss podcast, where stories from the darkest places remind us that redemption, healing, and faith are always possible. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm Chapter 30, verse 5.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a
Until next time, keep walking toward the light.